meeting. He carefully swung his legs around and over the edge of the bed so that he could put them down and, careful not to step in the vodka, he gingerly pushed himself up to a sitting position. His whole body ached, and he thought, again, that he was going to vomit. He steadied himself and, easing himself to a standing position, looked around the room once more. He saw another vodka bottle on the floor in the corner of the room. This one had been broken, the heavier base standing upright while the neck lay horizontally across the tile. There were two glasses near it, both shattered, tiny fragments catching the light that slanted in through a gap in the curtains. Milton saw that the door had not been closed properly. It was on an automatic mechanism, but it needed to be pulled in order for it to close all the way. He crossed the room and opened the door fully. Heat washed into the room. It was bright and stifling outside. He peered up into the sky. The sun's position said that dawn had been 3 or 4 hours ago. There was an empty parking lot, with weeds forcing their way up between cracks in the asphalt, and beyond, a row of parched palm trees loomed the swoop of an overpass. The traffic was loud, and fumes hung over the road in a vapour that Milton could taste against the back of his throat. He closed the door and turned back into the room again. Where was he? How did he get here? There was one other open door that led into the bathroom. He crossed the room and went inside. The room was small. There was a toilet and a basin with a small cupboard beneath it. He froze. There was a body on the floor. It was a woman. She was lying on her side, with her torso between the cupboard and the toilet, and her legs bent with her knees to her chest. Her dark hair was fanned out across the white tile. Her skin was pale, almost white, and it highlighted the obscene bruising around her exposed throat. Her head was angled toward him, and he could see half of her face. It was Jessica. His stomach turned, and the sick churned up from his gullet in a hot, acrid rush. Milton couldn't hold it down. He stepped over the girl's body and vomited into the sink, gout after gout of it, until the sink was splattered, and he was left feeling hollowed out and dizzy. "Hands up!" Milton turned around. The door to the bedroom was open, and a woman was standing in the doorway. She was wearing a light blue shirt, a navy blue skirt, and a navy blue cap with a crest in the centre. Milton recognised it. Philippines National Police. The holster on her belt was empty. She had taken out a Glock 17 9mm pistol and was aiming it straight at him. "Hands!" Milton did as he was told.
"You speak English?"
"Yes," he said.
"Come out!"
He looked at Jessica's body again, and then back at the officer. "Am I responsible?"
"Step into the room."
Did I do that? Milton wanted to tell her that it wasn't what it looked like, but the words caught in his throat. He knew why. He couldn't be sure. Maybe it was exactly what it looked like. He couldn't remember what had happened. Was it possible? He had killed before, dozens of times, more than 150 ghosts who had eventually ushered him along the road to sobriety. There had been another time, years earlier, when he had woken up with blood soaking his shirt, no memory of how it had got there, and then came a communique from control congratulating him on a job well done. Is this the same? Did I kill her while I was drunk? He couldn't say. He stepped out of the bathroom.
"Knees, now!"
The police officer was young. She was holding her weapon a little too tightly, the butt clutched deep in her palm and her index finger too rigid around the trigger. Her hand shook, making the muzzle quiver, and Milton knew that disarming her would have been a simple thing. But he didn't want to disarm her. He turned around, sank to his knees, and put his hands out behind his back, so that the officer could cuff him. Part 1. 4 days earlier. Chapter 1. William Logan.